Okay, so good evening, everybody. I very much appreciate you coming here to help me with the Ilui Neshama that my mother will hopefully get from everybody's learning Torah on her behalf and her zechus. My mother's name was Chana Bas Meir Avram. She was a Holocaust survivor of Auschwitz, and she was the only member of a family that survived, and Baruch Hashem, she was able to rebuild after the terrible tragedies that she went to. So it's very fitting that we learn Torah in her memory. That was something that was very, very important to her. I'm not going to make this into a hesped, but she certainly was an extremely important person to me and my entire family, and I would dare say to the community. And she was a very, very powerful influence on my life, my siblings' life, as well as many other people's lives. And her neshama should have a tremendous aliyah from our learning. We're entering into the period of time of the 3 weeks. We're in Chodesh Tammuz now. Shavuos v'Tammuz is a week from this Shabbos. It must be Sunday because it's a Nidcha. So we're getting into some very, very important subject matter in terms of us understanding why we have the 3 weeks. And I would like tonight to explore not so much the practical dinim of Lashon Hara. That's a technical sit-down discussion you have to have really with an open book to understand what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, what a person is obligated sometimes to say what would seem to be Lashon Hara, at other times it's absolutely not permitted to say Lashon Hara. So it's critically important that those dinim be known. But what I'd like to do tonight is just give a flavor for the understanding how important this din is, the severity of this din, and to maybe shock you, if you wish, with some of the statements the Chazal have made that are so phenomenal in terms of where does Lashon Hara stand in the spectrum of positive and negative things that we can do, and how serious this transgression can be, and what it has caused throughout Jewish history, the troubles that it has caused. I'll start off with some words of Hakdama from the Chofetz Chaim. Without the Chofetz Chaim, we would really not be having such conversations. He reminded us, his great work, the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, reminded us of the tremendous importance that this mitzvah has. So I'll read to you just a couple of thoughts that he has in his Hakdama, and then we'll go through some statements that the Chazal make that aren't so well known, some that are more well known, and try to put together a package over here of our understanding of what does it mean that we should be careful with our mouths. So Chofetz Chaim writes, is a beautiful Hakdama, I strongly suggest, not hard Hebrew, people read it if they have the opportunity. So he brings down, at the end of the Bayi Sheni, the second base of Migdush especially, Sinas Chinam V'Loshen Hara, Bavan Hoseinu Arabim, caused the Churban. So this is a sin that is the cause of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chazal tell us, any generation that doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt during it is doing the same exact sins that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a very, very strong statement to make. First of all, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt still because of Lashon Hara. And he says, this was the source, and Gemara calls it Sinas Chinam, and he says, it's Lashon Hara. And you shouldn't make that mistake. And he says, Ikar Lisibas Galusenu. This is the essential reason why we were put into Galus and why we are in Galus still to this day. And he says, Nira, that we must be misaking this chait. Our job, our task to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the only way we can do so is by being misaking, fixing this terrible avla that we have done. He says, otherwise, ech tuchal lios gula. There's no way the gula is going to come. As important as it is to give tzedakah, as important as it is to learn Torah, as important as it is to do gemilas chasadim, the gula is not going to come if we're not masakin the chait of sinas chinam. That's the words of the Chofetz Chaim. He says, kivon shezeh chait pogam kol kach. This sin is like down to the root of the tree. It's such a destructive sin that it caused us to go and be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Allah has come of a kind of she'eno manichenu lovel yatzeinu. It is preventing us to continue his doing of this sin. It's preventing us from having the gula shlema. It's preventing Moshiach Tzidkenu from coming. It's preventing us from going and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That is the sin. You know, we could all talk about we could do better in this, do better in that. There's room to do better in a lot of different things. But the ikker, the Chafetz Chaim is telling us that the ikker thing that we need to be misakin is this sin of Lashon Hara. Again, he goes through a whole bunch of other ideas over here. I'm going to not read to you quite a bit, but I just want you to be aware. He then goes and tells us that throughout our history, and he gives very critical historical examples of the severity of Lashon Hara, starting from day one, he says the ikker sin of Adam HaRishon and Chava was essentially over here Lashon Hara. And they were speaking Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nachash told Adam and Chava, and he says, look at this tree. Ma ha'ilon hazeh. What is this tree over here? God ate from this tree. And that's why he's God. If you eat from this tree, you'll also be God. He seduced Chava. He caused terrible, terrible destruction in the world because of his Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the start of all Lashon Hara. It was the original sin of Adam and Chava. So it starts from day one, minute one of humanity's creation is all involved with Lashon Hara. And he says that Lashon Hara, we'll see Gemaras that say this as well, caused the three cardinal sins. Lashon Hara is connected to the three cardinal sins of Gilui Arayish, Shfichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. And he says the cardinal sin over here, the Bar Nochash al Chava. The Nochash had relations with Chava. So it's Gilui Arayish. It caused death to come to the world. That's Shfichas Damim. And it caused Adam and Rishon and Chava to go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Avodah Zarah. So the original sin of the Nachash caused all three cardinal sins to be done and caused the terrible destruction that we have still recuperating from the original sin of the Nachash and Adam and Chava. So that's minute one of our being in the world. We got messed up because of Lashon Hara. He then tells us we went down to Mitzrayim. The whole idea that we couldn't go straight into Eretz Yisrael with the Avos, we had to go down to Mitzrayim. He says, Vayoveh Yosef is the basom ro'el avihem. Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about the brothers. Then there are millions of terutzim given over here as to why he did what he did, how he was allowed to, what the heter that the brothers had, all sorts of pilpulim as to what went on. The Chafetz Chaim cuts to the chase and he says, Ayidei ze nigzar olav min hashamayim, mida b'mida shenimsar le'eved. Because he spoke bad about his brothers, in some way he called them avodim. So therefore, mita keneged mita, you get punished that way. Lashon Hara is a type of a sin that a person does that you're going to get klept from it. You're going to get punished from it. And Yosef HaTzadik, how many people have the name Tzadik is their last name? Yosef HaTzadik. So he couldn't withstand this idea of Lashon Hara. And we went down to Mitzrayim because of that. He says, the Meraglim, you just read about it in last week's Parsha. So the Meraglim, they spoke their terrible words about Eretz Yisrael. So the Meraglim also, Iker Chet HaMeraglim, Hayu Lashon Hara. And he says, look what happened from that. That's Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem B'chisim B'chiyah Shochinam, Nigzar Aleim B'chiyah L'Daros. You cried for nothing. You cried because of this Lashon Hara. I'll give you something to cry about, Nebuch. The 3 weeks is something to cry about. Tisha B'Av is a terrible, terrible tragedy throughout the generations. And it's all because of Lashon Hara. And he goes on and on and gives many, many, many other such examples. I don't want to make this a historical survey of Tanakh and all the examples, but there are many, many, many other examples that the Chafetz Chaim gives. And that's just a little bit of a flavor in his introduction. So I want to read to you various Gemaras, both Bavli and Yerushalmi. Some people are more familiar with, some people aren't as familiar with them, to show you the severity of the Isser of Lashon Hara. First of all, the Chafetz Chaim says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, there's the potential, not every time, there's the potential to be over 31 Isser when you speak Lashon Hara. 17 Los Asays, and not be Mekayim, 14 Asays. In the next section of the Chafetz Chaim, he goes through and lists what are the 17 negative prohibitions, the low side says that a person could be over if he speaks Lashon Hara? And what are the 14 commandments that you not be Mekayim when you speak Lashon Hara? Again, I don't want to make this a technical, detailed din, shir, and go through all the 31. But that's an amazing thing. I can't think of anything else where if you do that sin, you're over 31 potentially surim and not fulfilling positive commandments. So that's a huge series of potential transgressions that a person can perform by just a simple word talking about somebody else. So, again, that's the power of Lashon Hara in a negative sense. I want to read you some of Yerushalmis first, because Yerushalmi is not as well known as the Bavli. And one of the major sources in the Yerushalmi is the first parak in Peah. Because it's interesting that the first parak in Peah is quoting a Mishnah, which everybody in this room says on a regular basis, some every single day, where it talks about Elu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shiur. There are certain things for which we do them, we get unbelievable reward. And then it tells us, there's certain things, if we do these mitzvahs in this world, we get only not only schar in this world, we get schar in the world to come. So it's like a double reward. Normally our schar is deferred to the olam ha'emes, which is better for us. You get much better return on your investment over there. But here, these things are so powerful. And what are they? Kibud of aim, honoring a parent. Gmilus chasadim, doing acts of kindness. Havas shalom b'nodem chavero, causing peace between people. The Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. The Talmud Torah is k'neged kulam. So Yerushalmi brings down a Tosefta from Peah, which tells us that the exact same thing happens for negative commandments as well. Just like these are Eilu Dvarim she'odem chel perosem b'olam hazeh, v'akeren k'emes olam haba. There are four averos that the exact opposite happens. You get punished in this world, and you get punished in the world to come. And what are those four? So he brings down Kinegdon, the four in our Mishnah, the famous four that we say, those that say Birchas HaTorah every day. So we say this after, right after the Birchas HaTorah. So Kinegdon, Arba Dvarim Shem Nifroim in Adam Olam Hazeh, V'Akeren Kemes Olam Haba. There are four things, Kineged these, for which a person gets punished for, not only in the world to come, but even in this world. Sometimes Rishayim get their reward in this world, and their punishment is totally reserved for the world to come. But here, these things are so bad that it's not enough to get your punishment in the world to come. You can get your punishment in this world too. What are these things over here? Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayis, and Shvichas Domim. The three cardinal sins, you get punished in this world and the world to come. And all the Mepharshim explain why they're Kineged Kibud Avaim, Gmilus Chasadim, Havah Shalom Miradim Chavero. They point out why each one is Kineged each one. And then Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam, Lashon Hara Kineged Kulam. Of all the sins, the three cardinal sins, Lashon Hara is worse. Lashon Hara Kineged Kulam. Lashon Hara is worse than the three cardinal sins. It's worse than every other sin. It's an amazing idea why Lashon Hara is such a severe transgression. And he brings down, some of the Mepharshim and the Yerushalmi bring down over here, that the severity of this is Kineged Talmud Torah. He says, Lashon Hara is Kineged Talmud Torah because it says, V'dibarto bom, V'divrei Torah below B'Lashon Hara. We have a positive commandment. Arguably, the most important commandment is to sit and learn Torah. So when you're doing the exact opposite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mouth. And he gave us a mouth to learn Torah with. When you use the mouth for the exact opposite of that, it's Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam, Lashon Hara Kineged Kulam. And the severity of Lashon Hara is the opposite spectrum from the greatness of Talmud Torah. And the Yerushalmi says, therefore, that just like Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah, so Lashon Hara is the greatest Aveira. It's a very, very strong statement. It brings down further over here. And it's in the parish on the Yerushalmi, he says, Lashon Hara asui lohavi esa'odom lachto b'sholosh ha'averos. Not only is Lashon Hara in and of itself so terrible, it's going to cause you to be over the three cardinal sins. And he brings down from Shaul HaMelech, because of Lashon Hara, that Shaul HaMelech accepted about David. David was rebelling against him. David was doing all sorts of things. So what happened to Shaul? He ended up doing all three of the Averis. Okay? He caused in some way a Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah to occur. So the Gemara is telling us over here that in and of itself it's terrible, but it's also going to cause you to do horrible things. You're going to be over the three cardinal sins if you speak Lashon Hara. And gives an example with Shaul HaMelech. Yerushalmi furthermore tells us an interesting statement. Rav Yehisa b'shem Rav Yochanan. Again, people aren't familiar with the Yerushalmi, so that's why I wanted to discuss some of these things. The Bavli statements are a little bit more familiar to people. So we should know and understand the importance of Lashon Hara seen through the eyes of the Yerushalmi. He says, Zeshu omer Lashon Hara, eina omer achu kofer b'ikar. A person who speaks Lashon Hara will end up blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Starts off, well, you know, I'm an excellent guy. I was just talking a little bit about this guy. You're going to end up being a person who is an apostate, who's a heretic, who blasphemes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? Because it says the person who speaks Lashon Hara, he quotes Psukim. I'm not here to go through all the Psukim, but it says that a person who speaks Lashon Hara is essentially stating, I don't have anybody above me. There's nobody above me. I run the show. And a person who thinks that he runs the show is eventually going to end up being kofer ba'ikar. He's going to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. He brings down further. As hara l'lashon hara minayin. How do we know that one has to be so careful with the concept of lashon hara? It says, mishmarta mikol dovar ra. And dovar ra means dibur ra. A person has to realize that everything bad really can come from the speech. You can destroy people with speech. You can make, you know, a person makes a cutting remark to somebody else. If you do that in the debates, you're a hero. Your points go up, your polling goes up. If you're the recipient of a cutting remark and you don't respond to it, your polls go down. In Judaism, it's the exact opposite. The one who makes the cutting remark in Shemayim, his polls go down. And the one who receives the cutting remark and doesn't say anything, and they love him, vain and owe him. If you sit silently and somebody says something to you, Lashon Hara, and you don't do anything about it, your polls just went up hugely. It's a straight ticket to Gan Eden. So it's exact opposite of what the secular world holds. So that's what we're taught over here, that the Shmar to Mikol Dovor Ra, person has to be excessively careful, Mishum Kol Dibur Ra, from every single bad thing that you could say. Why does Lashon Hara make a person a kofer? What? How does that work? So there are three reasons that the Gemara, the Mefarshim, and the Yerushalmi bring down as to how it works, that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he's blaspheming a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So number one, what are you saying when you talk Lashon Hara? So-and-so's not so smart. So-and-so, he's not so nice. Who created so-and-so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're maligning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork. That's the start of blasphemy. God can't make smart people. Only made me smart. He can't make everybody else smart. Can't make everybody else handsome. Can't make everybody else so nice. So you're blaspheming against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you speak Lashon Hara about somebody and say he's not a nice guy, he's a rotten scoundrel, you're basically saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't create a nice guy. That's the ikker of blasphemy. You're starting off and saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't do something. Furthermore, it has no purpose. When I say so-and-so is not a nice guy, how did that help me? What did that do to me? So the whole purpose, really, of Lashon Hara is just to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. Somebody who's a mumur lahachis. There are people that are mumur l'teyavon. I walk by a store, smells delicious. I can't resist going in there and having a cheeseburger. I just can't resist. So that's an avayim. The guy's a sinner. But he can't control himself. When you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, what did I gain from that? How did I benefit? I ate the cheeseburger because I was starving. It smells so good. When I speak Lashon Hara, there's no benefit that I'm getting. And therefore, all I'm doing it is a mumar lahachis. I'm just doing it to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That'd be equivalent to a guy that doesn't like cheeseburgers and has a perfectly kosher store to buy a kosher hamburger from, and he walks into the McDonald's, even though he doesn't like the McDonald's, he likes a kosher burger better. He walks into the McDonald's and manages somehow to stuff down the cheeseburger that he doesn't like, just to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, kofer bi'ikar. And the third reason that the Chazal tell us over here why you're kofer bi'ikar, why you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because Lashon Hara is usually said, psst, that's all so dead. Lashon Hara said, b'chashoy, it said secretively, it said furtively. And therefore, it's as if you're saying, nobody's listening. If a person says Lashon Hara, and he thinks, well, I got away with it, you're basically saying that there's nobody in front of me. Da lufnei miyat ta'omed. Right? You have that on many shul by the Aron Kodesh, by the Bima. Know who you're standing in front of. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's essentially saying, I'm not standing in front of anybody. Because you're saying it b'chashai, psst. Nobody's hearing me except the guy I'm saying it to. You're forgetting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hearing it, or you're denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hearing it. So therefore, it's a terrible thing. Now, the next statement is just absolutely scary. Anybody who loves Eretz Yisrael can be terrified at the next statement. Mefarshim bring down, Sheba'avon Lashon Hara, Noflim Anoshim B'Mulchama. You know why people die in battle? Rachmana Litzlan. Why a Tzal soldier might, Rachmana Litzlan, come into a difficult situation? Because of the sin of Lashon Hara. What a powerful and scary statement. Where do we get this from? Where does this come from? So the Mefarshim bring down a very famous story over here in the Yerushalmi. It tells us over here, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Doro Shel David Kulam Tzadikim Hayu. This is one of the scariest Gemaras I've ever come across. The generation of David HaMelech was full of Tzadikim. The Mefarshim explained Tzadikim are Tamidei Chachamim, used in this sense. So imagine, we always say that who goes out to war? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rav Zatzal, those who, when I was growing up, when they wanted to give an example, who goes out to Muhammad? So I picked the three Gedolim that I grew up, Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov, and the Rav Zatzal. So those three people, when they were going out to battle, right? So you couldn't imagine anybody else. That way we learned about the parasha of a woman who's beautiful, and they somehow, these great individuals couldn't resist themselves in battle. This tells you how much battle can change a person. But listen to this. The greatest tzaddikim went out in David's time to battle, and it says, Ayidei shahayu lehen delutorin, because there were people that spoke Lashon Hara amongst these great tzaddikim. Even though they were cool on tzaddikim. Hayyotzim lemuchalim v'hayu noflin. Soldiers in David's army. Some talk about this was really during the time before he was the full king, whatever it was. Soldiers in David's army died in battle, despite being called Kulam Tzadikim. They were the greatest boys in the greatest base medrash, and they would go out to battle, and some of them didn't return. And yet, the Gemara says, in the days of Achav, Achav was a Rasha. The people in his army were Rishayim. Nobody died. Because they spoke nicely to each other. They were kind to each other. They were not Talmidei Chachamim. They were not Tzadikim. But they were kind to each other. It says, Avol Doro Shel Achav. It's a Gemara, a Yerushalmi. Doro Shel Achav, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu. Doro Shel David Kulam Tzadikim. And Doro Shel Achav, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You couldn't have a bigger contrast if you tried. And yet, Ayidei Shelo Yulehem Dilatoria, nobody spoke Lashon Hara, Yordin Lemuchama V'Nitzachin. They all came back. Not one of the Tzahal soldiers in Achav's time didn't come back. Rishayim! And they were saved. The power of not speaking Lashon Hara. They had no other Zechusim. They were Ofdei Avodah Zarah. No Zechusim. David HaMelech saw him, he had tons of Zechusim. They were huge Talmidei Chachamim. And some of them died. Impossible to understand the power of Avodah Zarah. Yerushalmi gives another number of examples over here to illustrate this point further. But I think I've made the point over here, the dangers, the terrible dangers that Lashon Hara could have for soldiers in Tzahal, for ourselves, for our families. It can be, unfortunately, a tremendously dangerous thing for a person to do. Yerushalmi says another thing over here. Lashon Hara is called the Shlishi. The Bible uses the same expression. That Lashon Hara is called the Shlishi. Some suggest because the third person talks about party one and party two. He tells somebody else, you see what so-and-so did to you. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says over here, it kills three people. It kills the one who said it, Homro, Vamakablo, Vizishin Emarolov. It kills everybody involved with it. The person who's saying the Lashon Hara, the person who's Makabal the Lashon Hara. The post can say the one who's Makabal the Lashon Hara is even worse than the one that says it. And then it destroys the person who it was said about. He's the one that now everybody thinks is a shlemiel. He's the one that everybody thinks is an avarian. He's the one that everybody doesn't want to hire for their business or hire for a shidduch or something. Whatever the Lashon Hara was said about them. And he gives, again, historical examples throughout history as to the severity of the Isser of Lashon Hara. So that's some of the things from the Yerushalmi. I want to bring through a number of quotes from the Bavli. Again, tremendously important stories and ideas teaching us the severity of Lashon Hara. The Bavli tells us, Machriz Ravi Alexandri. This is a famous story. This is the way the Chofetz Chaim gets his name, the Chofetz Chaim, from why it took his sefer to be the Chofetz Chaim. Yerushalmi tells us that Rav Alexandri would announce, he'd go out to the marketplace and he would say, Man Bayichai, Man Bayichai. Who wants to buy the elixir of life? Oh, everybody comes rushing, right? Late night television, they have all these wonderful things. You listen to the radio, they have all these wonderful therapies and homemade remedies. If you take them, all your problems will go away. So, who wants to buy the elixir of life? So, man boichai. So he says, everybody gathered around him. Kuli Alma, all gathered around him. And he said, all the people said, give us, we want the elixir of life. So he told them, Mi ha'i shechofetz chayim, oev yamim liroz tov, who wants a long life? L'tzor l'shon chameira. The way you do, best way you can go and make sure that you live a long, happy, healthy life is to stay away from Lashon Hara. Then it tells us, Shema yomar adam natsarti l'shoni meira, and a person just goes and says nothing, he'll be doing great. So I won't open my mouth. No, that's not the right answer. It says, Sur Meira, stay away from Lashon Hara, Vasei Tov, and you have to do good. I heard this story from one of my rabbeim who said this about the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was a very garrulous person. I always would have thought that the Chofetz Chaim was probably the guy that would speak in the most short sentences. You know, yes, no, would be terrified to have a conversation with somebody. So one of my rebbeim, either he heard this directly from somebody who knew the Chofetz Chaim. I once had a rebbe who learned by the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was supposedly a very garrulous person. He was very happy to talk to you. He talked to you appropriately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to not use our mouths. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to speak to people, talk to people, be nice to people. You just have to know how to do it. They say once about the Chofetz Chaim that he was on a train and he was with a bunch of Amaratzim. People that weren't knowledgeable about Torah. There were various types of animal husbandry. They're taking care of cows and sheep and goats, whatever they were taking care of. Spent 4 hours on the train with them. His Talmidim said to him, "Oi, Rebbe, it must have been such a horrible trip for you to be with those people." He said, "What are you talking about? For 4 hours, we didn't speak a word of Lashon Hara. All we talked about was sheep and goats and how to take care of them. It was wonderful. It was a pleasure." That's the tafkid that a person has to work at. To not be a hermit. The Rav Zatzal would always say that the difference between us and the Goyim is by the Goyim, the way that they reach the highest level of spirituality is to remove themselves from the world, to have a vow of silence, to have a vow of poverty, to be celibate, to remove yourself, be a monk, cloistered away someplace. That's not the way we do things, the Rav said. We integrate everything in society. We interact with each other. We have to do it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to. The highest way that we can interact with each other, that's Asei Tov. Sur Meira, don't speak Lashon Hara, Asei Tov. Tov is Torah. Have conversations with people about Torah. Have conversations with people about how you can help them in their situation. That's Asei Tov. That's what a person is obligated to do. Baruch Erchin tells us a very interesting story. It says, Amrav Yochan, Mishum of Yosef and Zimra, call him a Sapra Lush and Hora Kilu Kofar Beaker. Same thing the Yushami said. Then he adds on another thing. Call him a Sapra Lush and Hora Negoyim Bayan Alav. The purpose of having Negoyim in the world, of Tzoras, the word Mitzora, Motzi Shem Ra. So the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show you we're doing something wrong, he give you Tzoras. Brings Psukim to support all of this as well. Amrei Shlakish. Why does the Torah tell us Zos here Toras Mitzora, Zos here Toraso Shal Motzi Shemra? This is telling us what's going to happen to you if you speak Lashon Hara, if you speak Motzi Shemra. The others, the Rabbi Nostim, they add to this. They point out that it says Zos here Toras Mitzora 5 times. And that supports the statement that we made previously. If somebody is speaking Lashon Hara, he's connected the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Torah is mentioned 5 times, Zos Tia Torah Mitzora, in that type of a format. So if somebody speaks Lashon Hara, Motzi Shemra, so then he's essentially being Kofar Beika, all 5 Chumshei Torah. He goes further, tells us a whole bunch of other details over here. He says, Omer Chista, Omer Mabukwa, call him a Sapa Lashon Hara, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sar Shel Gehenim. God, so to say, says to the Malach that's in charge of Gehenim, you and I will both judge this person. I'll judge him from above, you'll judge him from below. The severity of this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings in the Sar Shel Gehenim to deal with a person who speaks Lashon Hara. Again, it should send shivers through us. Lashon Hara, it says, is compared to a person who shoots arrows. Why do we use that imagery? Because an arrow can be shot from far away. An arrow can be shot furtively. All of a sudden, an arrow comes at you. You have no idea where it's coming from. It's from a distance away. But it says, it even uses other expressions to show you that Lashon Hara can impact 1,000 miles away, even more than an arrow. And it tells us that a person can make a comment. They use the language of it. A person can make a comment in Syria, and it has impact in Rome. So again, very important, the power of Lashon Hara. It's not just I told him and so it affected the guy over there. It can affect all of Klal Yisrael in many, many different places. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, call him a Sapra Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Kineged Shalosh Averos. It's as if you did all 3 cardinal sins when you speak Lashon Hara. Bali has a similar language to what the Yerushalmi said. Amar Chama Beruchanina, what does it mean? Moves V'chayim Biyad HaLashon. Power of death or life is in the hand of the Lashon. Lashon doesn't have a hand. So it wants to teach us a very important idea over here, that just like the hand is used in the expression, kill with the hand, so Lashon Hara has the power to kill people. That's one of the reasons the Gemara tells us that why by Lashon Hara does it tell us that when a person gets saras, he has to be outside the camp. A person commits murder, doesn't have to be outside the camp. Person Rahman al-Islam commits Avodah Zarah, he doesn't have to be outside the camp. Person commits Gilui Arayis, the 3 cardinal sins, he's not sent outside the camp. Person says Lashon Hara, outside the camp. Why? So the Gemara says, Mida Keneged Mida, you caused people to become estranged from each other. You speak Lashon Hara, a person tells another man, oh, you heard what your wife said about you? Tells the wife, you heard what your husband said about you? You destroyed their marriage. They're separate. They're no longer kiguf echad. You destroyed their marriage. You separated them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to separate you from the rest of the encampment. You caused Lashon Hara in the community. You separated the community. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to separate you from the community. That's the power, the midah keneged midah, the Gemara tells us over here about Lashon Hara. David HaMelech is a person who conquered his Yetzer Hara. And this will be the last thing that I mention. There are many, many, many other stories. David HaMelech, who conquered his Yetzer Hara, nevertheless fell victim to Lashon Hara. And because of that, Malchus Yehuda was split. David HaMelech listened to Tziva. Tziva was the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Yehonah's son. David's best friend. And David was told by Tziva, yeah, Mephibosheth really is waiting for you to lose your kingdom. This was at the time of Avshalom's rebellion against his father David. And Mephibosheth sent Ziva, because Mephibosheth was lame and couldn't travel with David, he sent Ziva with provisions and sent Ziva to David to help David. And David said, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziva said, oh, he's waiting for you to lose this war so he can reclaim his kingdom. And David believed Ziva. Now, he had a right to listen to Ziva. Lashon Hara doesn't mean that you hire anybody and don't listen to the people telling you that this guy's a crook. He worked for me, he was a crook, he's going to steal from you blind. You're allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to accept it fully. Again, I'm not getting into the dinim of Lashon Hara. Person doesn't have to go through life blindly accepting everybody to be a tzaddik. Unfortunately, there are people that aren't tzaddikim. But David, it says, should have listened a little bit more carefully. And once he found out that Ziva was lying, and he had good reason to believe that Ziva was lying, nevertheless, David ultimately said, Ziva, you take half, and Mephibosheth, you take half. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as a result of that, that's the way you want to act, David HaMelech. So because you did that, so Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Ilmale lo kibel David Lashon Hara, lo nechlecha malchus beis David. The malchus of David was destroyed when Shlomo HaMelech stopped being the king. 40 years of David, 40 years of Shlomo, and then Rechavim, Shlomo's son, takes over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates Klal Yisrael and was separated from that time onward. The Malchus Yehuda, the Malchus Yisrael, the start of all calamity for Klal Yisrael really was the destruction of Malchus Yehuda. We no longer were one Malchus, now we're separated into two. That's the punishment of Lashon Hara. You say Lashon Hara, you accept Lashon Hara, I'll cause you to split. And the Gemara tells us that that's why David's Malchus was ultimately ripped apart, and we had a Yeravim ben Nevat and a Rechavim, and the two have never gotten back together. Until Be'ezus Hashem, we're Mesakein. If we only realize the power that we have to go and be Mesakein, the Chofetz Chaim says we have the power to be Mesakein this. The 3 weeks are about to start. If everybody takes upon themselves to be a little bit more careful in how they talk to their spouse, to their children, to their neighbors, at work, if we just are a little bit more conscious of the severity of this issa, then Be'ezus Hashem, we can make a difference. We can be misaking it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to suddenly never ever say another word of Lashon Hara again. He's asking us to start, make an effort, learn the dinim, learn the Shmiras HaLashon. And Be'ezus Hashem, this shir, which was Li'ili Nishmas, my mother, Aleha Shalom, Chana Basmei Avram, it should be a spur to all of us to both learn more Torah and as well to try to be misaking the terrible Aveira of Lashon Hara so we can, Mirtz Hashem, celebrate Tisha B'Av this year as a moed. Thank you very, very much for listening.